Well, good morning. If you would care to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. As you're turning, I have a couple of cards here. I normally don't read these, but in an effort to keep everybody from congregating around to read them, I put them out on the bulletin board. I thought I would read some of these to you as we get them. This is from Brother Dan Morgan. It says, the kindness of others is a genuine reflection of the kindness of God. And Dan says, I usually don't buy religious cards, but this one seemed very appropriate for how I felt about our church family. Your care, kindness, and concern during this time of loss has been a true reflection of the love of Christ in you all, and it has helped. And he said, I'm grateful. We have another one from Miss Shelby Fortner to the Hurricane Road Grace Church. Just thanking us for the beautiful spray of fresh flowers that we sent to Don's funeral. And thanking for your thoughtfulness and the generous gifts that she has received. She said, Don often prayed for God's blessing on the work there at Hurricane Road Grace Church. And that is my prayer for you also. So I want to continue to remember those who are heartbroken. And this is maybe a more difficult time than ever, isn't it, to be going through that? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And we'll end our reading there. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, oh, how we thank you that you have one more time given us an opportunity to meet together, to open and read your word, to hear your gospel preached, to come before you in prayer, to bow together before your throne of grace as a church family. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful chiefly for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. God, help us to be a thankful people. But chiefly, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for a salvation for sinners that is full and free and certain in him because of his person and because of what he has accomplished for his people. And Father, I pray this morning that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and magnified in everything that is said and done here today, especially, Father, in the preaching of your word. Enable the name of Christ to be preeminent. Father, I pray that you would be with me in this hour, that you'd not leave me alone, but that you would enable me to preach by the power of the Spirit, to preach to the hearts of your people, the word of God, to point your people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, give us hearing ears and believing hearts that we might believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and leave here this morning rejoicing in him. Cause your word, Father, we beg, to go forward in power to meet the need of every heart that's gathered here together this morning. And Father, we thank you for the many blessings of this life that you've given to us. On top of giving us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, you've blessed this congregation richly in material things. And Father, we're thankful. And Father, I thank you for the generous and giving heart that you've given your people with all the gifts that you've given us to give, to help one another, and support the gospel, and send abroad the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you. And we dare not, Father, forget to pray for those that are in times of great difficulty and sorrow and sickness. Father, we pray for them. We pray for your hand of healing. We pray for your comforting presence in their hearts, that you be with your people in a special way. All these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Since the Savior found me, pardon all my sin. I have had the joy and living hope within. Gone is all the shame and sorrow of the past. There underneath the precious blood of Christ at last. Save, 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 I'm happy on the way. Save, 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 I love Him more each day. Save, 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 I know He's mine each hour. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by power. Since the Savior found me, all to Him I owe. For His precious blood has washed me white as snow. Now no condemnation, happy as can be. I'm glad that Jesus justifies and sets me free. Save, 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 I'm happy on the way. Save, 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 I love Him more each day. Save, 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 I know He's mine each hour. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by His power. Since the Savior found me, I have perfect rest, living in the realms of joy and happiness. Savior, looking for that day when He shall come to catch His waiting bride away. Say, plumb, say, I'm happy on the way. Say, plumb, say, I love Him more. Say, plumb, say, I know He's mine each hour. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by His power.
All right, if you would, open your Bibles with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about a great big subject. Subject of salvation. I titled the message this morning, Plumb Saved. That's a good Eastern Kentucky word, plumb saved. This subject of salvation is a glorious subject. When told in truth, it glorifies God and it makes the hearts of sinners rejoice. Salvation is a big subject. It's such a big subject, we study it all of our life long and never do get to the bottom of it. You know, I don't like to hear people talk about salvation in small terms, terms like I got saved. You know, that kind of makes it sound like I had something to do with it. I got saved. Or it was an accident, you know, like I found a quarter on the sidewalk, you know. It's like I had something to do with it or it's an accident. You know, it just seems to cheapen this thing of salvation. Salvation is something that only God can do. So it'd be a whole lot better to say, the Lord saved me, wouldn't it? The Lord's gracious. He saved me. The Lord had to be the one to do it. Salvation is such a big subject, it's something that only God can do. Salvation is salvation from sin. Now, only God can remove sin. Only God in His power and His holiness can remove sin. Only God can forgive sin. Because sin is against Him, so He's the only one that can forgive it. Salvation is salvation from God, from the justice and wrath of God. Salvation is salvation from God's justice. And God's the only one who can satisfy God's justice. God's the only one who can spare sinners from His justice. So salvation is something that is so big, only God can accomplish it. The salvation of a sinner is such a big subject that it is eternal. You know, when we talk about salvation, we have to talk about salvation in all three tenses of our language. Past, present, and future. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we are pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that He will yet deliver us. Now I know that Paul here is talking about being delivered from physical dangers and trials in the past. How the Lord in the past had delivered him from many. You know the story of the Apostle Paul. Had delivered from many physical dangers and trials. And the Lord was currently delivering Paul from different dangers and keeping him safe so he could go preach Christ where the Lord sent him to go. And Paul was confident that the Lord would continue to deliver him from dangers and trials in the future. The Lord would keep delivering him until it was time that the Lord would call him home. And every believer can say the same thing. You just think over the course of your life how the Lord has delivered you from different trials and difficulties. He's delivering you right now, isn't He? Right now you sit here, don't have the coronavirus. How'd that happen? The Lord's keeping you safe. The Lord's keeping you safe from a myriad of things. You didn't get in a car wreck and not be able to get here this morning. How'd that happen? The Lord did that, didn't He? The Lord's keeping you safe. And the Lord will continue to deliver you until such time as He sees fit to call you home. And we're thankful it's that way. I'm thankful that God is in control. That makes Him able to deliver us. I'm thankful that the Lord loves His people. And He cares about them enough. He cares. I mean, we're nothing. We're just nothing. Yet the Lord cares to think on us and to deliver us from our troubles. I'm thankful that the Lord sends these trials and troubles to teach us to be dependent upon Him, to keep us depending upon Him. I was speaking last night with Pastor Kevin Thacker, getting ready to preach his very first funeral. And his text is going to be, it's better to go to the house of mourning in the house of praise, the house of feasting, the house of joy. I can't remember how to quote it, but it's better. The key is better to go to the house of mourning. Now, we don't think that way, do we? But why? Why is it better for us to go to the house of mourning? Because that's where God teaches us how dependent we are upon Him. And He reveals His glory and His strength in delivering us. If God didn't do that, you know what you and I do? We'd start depending on the arm of the flesh, and then we'd fall. Now that's, I know, understand, that is what Paul is directly saying there in that text, but I want to spiritualize what the apostle's saying here, and look at these verses as a picture of this big, big subject of salvation. And we look at this subject, we've got to start with our need of salvation. We need to be saved, because we're dead in sin. See what the apostle says, verse 8? For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength. This was beyond our strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. And we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. And all of us are born dead in sin. That's what we come to this world. We're dead. We're dead so we can't give ourselves life. We're dead so we can't do anything at all to help ourselves. We're dead in sin. That's our nature, as a sin nature. So everything we say, everything we do, everything we want to do, everything that we think is sin. And God is angry with the wicked. God hates sin. The wages of sin is death. Both physical death and eternal death. That's what sin deserves. That's what it gets, what it earns. And this is what I get. This death is what I get for my sin. It's my sin. It's my fault. I can't blame it on Adam. It's my fault. It's my sin. We have the sentence of death in ourselves, Paul said. It's my fault. This sentence comes on me justly. The sentence of death comes on me justly for my sin. And it's what God should do. Because God is holy. God cannot and He will not accept anyone who has even a hint of sin on them. God cannot and He will not accept the best that we can do. God can only accept perfection, perfect holiness. And nobody will ever be saved until they lose all hope in themselves. We'll never be saved until we lose all hope of righteousness in anything that we do. We'll never be saved until we lose all hope of earning salvation, earning God's favor by something that we do. We'll never be saved until we lose all hope, thinking there's something about me that deserves mercy from God. We'll never be saved until we lose all hope of that. If God's going to save us, we must be brought to the place where we see the only hope we have is God's grace. We've got to be brought to the place where we beg God for mercy. Because if God's going to give us life, He's got to be merciful to me. Because we deserve death. So if God's going to give us life, He's got to do it in mercy. We've got to be brought to the place that we are completely dependent upon God. Because He is the only one who can save. Because like I said in the introduction, this thing of salvation is so big, only God can do it. Now here's the first thing I want us to see about this big subject of salvation. To be plumb saved, there's got to be salvation in the past tense. Paul says in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. Now English, in the interest of full disclosure here, was my weakest subject all through school. But I'm pretty sure I got this right. Delivered, the word delivered, is in the past tense. It's in the past tense because salvation is eternal. Before anything was created, when only God existed, God's people were saved. I can tell you how. The Father, when nobody but God existed, the Father chose a people to save. He chose to save a people out of the lump of Adam's fallen race. God knew He was going to create the heavens and the earth. God knew He was going to create man and put him in it. And God knew Adam was going to fall in that garden. So the Father chose to save a people out of Adam's fallen race. And the Father also chose the means of salvation. He chose the people to save, and He chose the means of their salvation. The means of their salvation is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Father's purpose to save those people by the obedience of His Son. And by the sacrifice of His Son, when His Son became a man, when His Son was made flesh and would dwell among us, that is how Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because the Father always purposed the salvation of His people in His Son. The Father always saw His Son as sacrificed for the sin of His people. That was God's will, God's purpose. Now, whatever it is God wills to do, God will do. The purpose of God is done. It is just as done as a prior act of God. So when God chose to save a people in His Son, those people were plumb saved, completely saved. Now, can I show you that from Scripture? I can't. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. See, I better be able to show you that from Scripture, or I better not say it. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, when? From the foundation of the world. See, the works of redemption were finished before God created anything. That's why we could rest in Christ. Because the work's finished. There's no more work left to do. The work was finished before God created anything. They were already finished. So God's people were saved before creation. God's people have been eternally justified in Christ. They were justified when the work was finished. You know, there's a certain group of people. They like to talk and debate and argue about all these little fine points, you know. And one of the things I always like to talk about is when, rather than who, when. They like to talk about, well, when were God's people justified? Well, you know, the answer to that is very simple. They were justified when God said they're justified. They were justified when the work of justification was finished. And God's word tells us that work was finished before the foundation of the world. Now, that was God's purpose for His people. That was God's will. And God's purpose is just as sure as a prior act of God. Well, then God's people were justified in eternity when God purposed their salvation in Christ. I can show you that again. Look at the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9, who hath saved us, that's past tense, he hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, salvation is a gift. Well, when was it given? When was it given to God's people? Before the world began. It was given to them when God purposed it in Christ. So God's elect have always been accepted in the Beloved. Always. Now look at Romans chapter 8. That is God's eternal purpose. Before time began, and nothing that happens in time will ever change God's eternal purpose, because God's eternal purpose is already done. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us in His eternal will and purpose, who can be against us? Nobody. Because the purpose of God is just as sure as a prior act of God. And all this that the Apostle Paul lists here in Romans 8 is in the past tense. Who God did foreknow, who God did predestinate, who God called, who God justified, even who God glorified. All that is in the past tense. All of this work of salvation is given to us in the past tense because the salvation of God's elect is eternal. It's already done. It's so already done, the apostle said we're already glorified. Already glorified. Now, that's a sure work of salvation, isn't it? It's sure. Well, that's a salvation sinners like you and me need, isn't it? And it's a salvation, a Savior that we can trust because it's in the past tense. It's already done. But here's the second thing. Salvation is in the present tense. Salvation is something that must be accomplished in human time. Back in our text, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 1, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. Now that's in the present tense. Now, I don't want to get real complicated here, but part of this present tense is really past tense to you and me. Part of this present tense is, we consider it human time. When the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh and he obeyed God's law, when he obeyed God's law, all of God's people were made righteous. Because when Christ, our representative, obeyed the law, we did too. We obeyed it in him. Now, that's past tense to you and me, isn't it? It was future tense to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we're all made just, or we're all made righteous, all justified the exact same way. It's through the obedience of Christ. Through faith in Christ. It's not by our works, but by faith in Christ. Now, to Abraham, that was looking forward to Christ. To us, it's looking back, but we're justified the same way. By Christ's work, by Christ's obedience to the law. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the representative of his people. Now, the Father willed, this is what the Father willed in eternity, that all of God's elect would be made righteous in Christ, their representative, that they would do what Christ, their representative, did. But that will and that purpose had to actually be carried out in time in order for sinners to be saved. That obedience actually had to be produced in human time, and that's why Christ came. He came in the flesh to obey God's law for his people, to bring in everlasting righteousness for them. And when the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed God's law, all of God's elect were made righteous because they obeyed it in him. Just as surely as we were made sinners when we disobeyed in Adam, we were made righteous when we obeyed in Christ by what our representative did. Now, I know that's past tense to you and me, but that was future tense to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we're made righteous the exact same way, through faith in Christ. See, God's elect are made righteous in Christ. He obeyed the law for them. He made them righteous. But now something still has to be done with our sin. Something's got to be done with it. Our sin must be paid for. It must be cleansed. Well, the Father purposed the solution for that. The Father purposed that the sin of his people would be paid for by Christ, the Lamb slain. Now, like I said in our first point, when the Father purposed that, it was as good as done. It was as good as done because it was done. It was done. But that blood still must actually be shed in human time. And that's why Christ came in the flesh. He came with a body to be sacrificed. He came with blood to be shed. And all of God's elect were saved. They were justified at that moment in human time when Christ died. He obeyed the law's last demand. There must be death for sin. And the moment he died, all of God's elect were justified. Now again, that's past tense. I mean, it's happened in human time. It's past tense to us. It's future tense to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that happened in time, human time, to accomplish God's will and purpose. When Christ cried, "It is finished," all the work of redemption was finished. And God's elect from all time were saved, cleansed from their sin. So, when were sinners justified? Well, they were justified both when the Father purposed it. And they were justified when Christ actually died on Calvary's tree. But salvation is also present tense in our experience. And it's something that's present tense accomplished in human time. But it's present tense in our experience. Now, in order for a sinner to be saved, this is a big subject now, the Father must choose a people to save. He must decide to save those people. The Son must come and he must pay for their sin by shedding his blood as a sacrifice for their sin. But now there's a third thing. That blood must be applied. There must be faith in Christ. There must be a new birth. And man can't do any of that. Man can't apply the blood. Man can't conjure up faith in Christ. Man can't give himself spiritual life because he's dead. So God has to do all that. God has to apply the blood. God must give faith in Christ. God must give the new birth. And that work of applying the blood, giving faith in Christ, giving life in Christ, That's the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, we talk about the Trinity. We say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, always in that order. Have you ever heard anybody say it in a different order? I can't recall it ever. Well, don't think just because we say God the Holy Spirit last, He's somehow less important. No, not at all. The work of the Holy Spirit is just as important as the Father and just as important as the work of the Son in salvation. Now, I know there are people that don't want to hear that. They say, oh, no, the work of the Son is most important. Well, I'll tell you what. You try being saved without the work of the Spirit. Can't be done. It's impossible. We must be given faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is just as important as the death of Christ. That's so. Christ's death means nothing to you if you don't believe Him. Faith in Christ is just as important as the death of Christ. The writer of the Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember that Philippian jailer trembling? Asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul tell him? Believe. You must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You shall be. There is no salvation without God-given faith in Christ. God must give us this faith. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved, through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. So there can be no salvation without faith, and there can be no salvation without the new birth. Because only that new man born of God can believe God. That's why our Lord told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again. You must be born again. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Except you be born again, you cannot enter. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, faith does not justify. Christ justifies. But justification, salvation, is received by God-given faith. That's why there can be no salvation without faith. And look at the book of Philippians, chapter 2. This is a work that God does for all of His people. Giving them faith in Christ. Giving them this nature that believes Christ, that does His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, faith, that's the gift of God. That's the work that God the Holy Spirit does in His people to enable them to believe Christ. See, we're totally dependent on God to save us. He's got to do it all from beginning to end, doesn't He? So the very moment we believe Christ, the very moment we are given faith in Christ, we're saved in the present tense. In the present tense. And I said that right. In the present tense. You know, salvation is not, I believe Christ X number of years ago. I didn't, you know, oh, I believe Christ 20 years ago, so now I'm all fixed up. That's not saving faith. Not at all. Faith in Christ is always in the present tense. Always. The issue, I don't know whether this is right to say, it doesn't really matter. That's not a good way to say it. But believing Christ 20 years ago, that's not the issue. The issue is, do you believe Christ right now? Right now. That's the issue. In the present tense. And you do believe Christ right now. God saved you. Now, if you had an experience and you just kind of created that experience in yourself, you probably don't believe Christ right now. But if God saved you, you believe Christ right now. That's how we're being saved. We're being saved because, like Peter said, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're being saved because the Holy Spirit keeps us believing in Christ. Now, salvation is in the present tense. Faith in Christ right now. That's salvation. And if God's given you that faith, it won't quit. If God's given you that faith, you're going to believe in that way tomorrow, too. You know, that was the subject of our Bible class lesson this morning that was put online, the subject of apostasy. Now, if God saved you and He's given you faith in Christ, you will keep believing Christ. You will. you will not turn from Christ to trust what the Apostle Paul called another Jesus. You, if God saved you, if God's given you faith in Christ, you can't trust another doctrine. You'll continue to believe in Christ, always in the present tense. So when were sinners justified? Well, when the Father purposed it. Sinners were justified when Christ actually died on Calvary's tree. And sinners were justified the moment that we believed on Christ. But salvation is also in the future tense. Back in our text, the apostle says, who delivered us, past tense, from so great a death, and doth deliver, present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now, that's the future tense. Now, we've just seen this from God's word. God has saved his people. They're saved. The Father purposed their salvation, they're saved. The Son died to purchase their salvation, and they're saved. And the Holy Spirit is coming. He's applying that salvation. And always in the present tense, he is keeping God's people by his power. So the work of salvation is done. It's done. It's finished. But here we sit. Are you satisfied? You who believe Christ, are you satisfied? No, not yet. We're not satisfied yet, are we? We don't have the possession, the full possession of the inheritance just yet. I do love God. By God's grace, I love God. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him because He first loved me, but I'm telling you, I love Him. I love His gospel. I love resting in Christ. I love believing Christ. I love seeing Christ in His Word. I love hearing about Christ in His gospel. I do. I love it. And you do too, if you believe Christ. But we're not satisfied yet. And we shouldn't be satisfied yet. Because I don't love Christ like I should. I don't rest in Christ like I want to. I don't rejoice in Christ like I should. But by God's grace, one day real soon, we will. Real soon, we will. When God calls us home to be with Him, in that very moment, we'll be righteous. We'll be without sin. We'll be made just like Christ. And then we'll be satisfied. At that moment when God calls us home, we will finally experience perfect, complete bliss. No more tears. No more worry. No more sickness. No more pain. No more parting. We will be plumb saved. And that makes the death of this body for the believer the best day of our life. Now, none of us really think that. I mean, you didn't get up this morning and think, oh, the best day of my life will be when I die. But if you believe Christ, that's so. It won't. Now, that won't be true for our loved ones. Those who are left behind, no, it'll be an awful day. It'll be a day full of sorrow and heartbreak. But for that child of God that the Father has called home, it'll be the best day of their life. Because in that day, we will have the full possession of everything the Father purposed, everything the Son purchased, and everything the Holy Spirit has put in our hearts. We've got the earnest of it right now, don't we? We've got the engagement ring of it right now, the Holy Spirit in our heart. But all one day, we're going to have it fully in our possession. Look at Romans chapter 13. That day, a final, complete salvation is coming for God's people. And it's getting closer and closer and closer with every second that ticks on the clock. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's nearer now than when we first believed Christ, and it's getting nearer all the time. Because it's getting nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer to that day when God calls us home to be with Him. Now the final, complete salvation of God's people is sure. It's sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's just as sure as if it were already done, because God's Word says it is. God's not going to let any of His people fall away. He will bring them all to glory, and not one of them will be missing. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 6. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it. He'll finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. This thing is sure because God's going to finish it in the future. But now there's one more thing coming to God's people in the future. It's the resurrection. When God raises these bodies in a body, just like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, then I'll be satisfied. When I stand with Christ in resurrection glory, then we'll be fully satisfied. We'll be completely, fully justified. We will be plumb saved. Plumb saved. Wanting for nothing, waiting for nothing else. Then we'll have the full possession of everything we've ever wanted. So when were sinners justified? Well, here's the complete answer. When the Father purposed them. Sinners were justified when Christ actually died on Calvary's tree. Sinners were justified the moment we believe on Christ. And sinners are justified. That moment, by God's grace, we awaken Christ's likeness in glory. It's all four. It's all four put together. Because that's the whole purpose of God. So you believe, right now, I'm telling you, you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You believe on Christ, you will be plumb saved. You will be so plumb saved that you're already in heaven. Already glorified, seated with Christ your Savior, seated with Christ your representative. And one day, right soon, you'll follow Him there and be with Him there bodily too, in a perfect body without sin. Now God's people are plumb saved. And then nothing can change it. Nothing can change that. Not one speck of God's will be left undone, will be changed. Not one. I mean, it's no matter what happens, that God's people are saved. Well, what will we do till then? So that time, God calls all of His people and gathers all of His people to be with Him around the throne. What will we do until then? Well, the work's finished, isn't it? The work's finished. But we won't be fatalistic. And the only way you can understand that is by faith. The work's finished. There's not a hint of doubt, of failure in any way. The work's finished, but we're not going to be fatalistic. We're going to pray. Till then, we're going to pray that the Lord save His people. We're going to pray that the Lord do His will and save His people. Look in our text, verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now God has saved His people. He's going to do it without our help. But how do we help? It says here we help. How do we help? It was by prayer. By prayer, by praying and asking God to do His will. See, whenever God intends to do something, He always puts it in the hearts of His people to pray for it, and then He does it. Just like Israel down there in Egypt, it was always God's will that He deliver them from Egypt, wasn't it? But He put it in their hearts to pray. Then He heard their cry and sent the deliverer. The same thing's true of salvation. When God intends to reveal Himself to one of His people, He puts it in the heart of some of His other people to pray for it. To pray for what God's already getting ready to do, and then God does it. That's another thing only God can do, isn't it? So here's my prayer. That the Lord take this message this morning, and He would use it to reveal Himself to one of His lost sheep. Call them by faith to come to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the God would fulfill His purpose in saving His people. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for this portion of Your Word. How we thank You for this revelation of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seen all throughout Your Word, salvation is in Christ. It's Your eternal will and purpose to save Your people by the sacrifice of Your Son, through faith, God-given faith in Your Son. Father, I beg of You this morning that You would save Your people, those people here, save your people by your grace. Cause your gospel to take root in their heart, to give life and faith in Christ. Cause your gospel to reach into the hearts of your people, to encourage and strengthen, to keep us trusting on Christ, to keep us looking to Christ. Let all of our faith, all of our hope, all of our confidence be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for His sake, for the glory and praise of His name, that we pray. Amen. All right, y'all dismissed.